This is the most incredible example of tactile hallucination I have ever witnessed. Right down to the sonic detail. May I congratulate you, sir? You have to be a psychotic genius to have done such a complete job. How you're able to sustain these images with all the mass and matters they contain for as long as you do is almost too exhausting to imagine. I'm awestruck by the beautiful detail of your insanity, sir.
Insanity?
The captain went pale.
Never have I seen such complexity, such a concentration of will. No matter how and when tested, consistently, you've managed to employ sound, taste, weight, depth, solidity. I embrace your complete conviction, sir.
The cemetery was ringed by giant weeping willow trees which swayed under the ghostly moan of the night wind. Under the light of the half-moon, white tombstones stood out spectrally. Stealthy shadows marched along the pathways each time the breeze tugged at the bending willows, and over all hung the terrible silence of death.
He stared up at the living Swifty and saw the gun flame. He swiveled half around, and a .44 mangled through his chest from Scotty Brandt's gun. His hands clutched meaningless scoops of hot, gritty sand, and the world began to tip crazily. Bilbo's shadow was gone. Whisper Monahan's shadow was gone. With merciless accuracy, the two rifles crashed out again and again, butchering him. His own shadow, was gone. And Rossoff's TB-3 expanded before him until it filled the sky. Expanded until the gunners' faces were bright by their own hysterical fire. Expanded until there was no turning back. Head on! The flash was so bright that that collision was seen for 30 miles. Just one gigantic flash. And then the sphere of air was filled with brightly flaming little bits of ships and men. And David Duane, his destiny changed, had won Pujala. Pujala, where waited warmth and peace and beauty, and Sabrina Aro.
Mr. Keogh revealed a small handgun.
And then there are your three companions. Incurable, I'm afraid. You'll be better off dead. You'll be happier.
Wait, please. I really am Captain Jonathan Williams.
Mr. Keogh shot the captain in the chest, killing him almost instantly. The crew screamed and grasped wildly toward one another. Mr. Keogh was taken aback that the crew still existed. They should have evaporated into the air, at least in Mr. Keogh's mind.
They stood looking at each other through the hot haze of evening. And as they stared, 10 years went by, and they saw again the swirling dust of parade grounds and heard the monotonous voice of a drill sergeant counting cadence. 10 years and 3,000 miles to that sweaty field. But they bridged it, and the jungle about them faded away. Their bars were forgotten, their formalities swept aside by recognition. They were once again boots, not gendarmerie captain and gendarmerie lieutenant.
A cry came from the wall. Pirates, boosted by their fellows, soared over and dropped into the court. The gun crew threw away their swords and ran. Bristol looked at the front entrance of the palace. The doors were heavy oak carved in a coat of arms. He tested the latch. It was securely barred within.
72 hours before the submarine SJ-9 took her last dive into the Pacific to rest a battered, capsized, and entangled hulk on the ocean's murky floor. A motor sailor bumped gently against the dock at the end of San Diego's Broadway. The long, open boat was filled to overflowing with a crowd of boisterous blue jackets, home from a Panama cruise. They jostled their way up the narrow gangway to the street, and after a few minutes of milling about, went their respective ways to ply their separate and collective vices.
Gods, it's carried over to me! Contaminated. I've been contaminated. I've been made insane. Only one cure. Only one way to make them vanish. Only one.
A final shot rang out, and Mr. Keogh fell to the ground. The bodies lay in the sun alongside the small foreign ship on the sunny little hill, and the ship did not vanish. Later, at sunset, some people from town found it and wondered what it was. Nobody knew, so it was sold for scrap and hauled off to a junkyard. It rained that whole night, but the next day was fair and warm and dry.